See. All right. Hallelujah. Well, you ready to get in the Word of God this morning? You may not like me when I do this, but I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet one more time. Now, if you're fairly new here or this is your first time here, just a little bit of an explanation that lets you know what we're going to be doing as we open up our text this morning and our direction. We believe in the importance of the spoken word. The reason we believe that is not because it's some little pet doctrine. It's what Jesus taught us. It's what the Word of God teaches us, and it's what the apostles affirmed. The song that we sang earlier is found in the book of Psalms, where the writer says, I will not die, but I shall live and declare the works of the Lord. Proverbs 18:21 says very clearly, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and we will eat the fruit of what comes out of it. My paraphrase. How many know that what we say is important? Amen? Now, we hear that so often in a negative connotation. That's the very minimum. Most of it is the fact that you can speak the Word of God. We talk enough about the problem. It's time that some of us begin to stop talking about the problem. Stop telling God how big your problem is. I know this is cliche, but I love it. Stop telling God how big your problem is and start telling your problem how big your God is. That is scriptural, and Jesus taught it to his disciples before men could even be born again. Speaking in Mark chapter 11, after he had spoken to a fig tree, he said, guys, here's how you deal with seemingly impossible situations. Here is how you deal with that which seems to loom and overshadow your life to a degree that it looks impassable as well as impossible. He said, with shoulders squared, eyes wide open, chin high, talk to your mountain. He said, if you would say unto this mountain, there's a time to pray and there's a time to say. Now, if you hung around here, you know that saying is praying when you're speaking the Word of God. Saying is the most perfect form of prophecy that there is. When you speak the Word of God about your situation, it is a prophetic bullseye every time. Jesus said, if you would say unto this mountain, be removed and you be cast into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart what you say, but you believe what you say, you will have. You believe what you say will come to pass. You'll have. Jesus said this, not me, not the W-O-D, word of, or W-O-F, excuse me, W-O-F, that everybody loves to dive and treat like a denomination. It's not even that. I'm W-O-F. You know what it is? Word of faith. Paul said, this is the word of faith. Just because some guys went wild and hijacked the message doesn't change the message. How many are glad today for the word of faith that we preach? Okay, we're back to Methodism again. How many are glad for the word of faith that we preach? That we can open up our mouths and declare the Word of God. Let me know that we are the total of our talking today, the total of our talking from yesterday. But how many know that's not the end of the story? We can turn this big vessel around with one small rudder, our tongue, as we begin to speak the Word of God. Scripture speaks of confession and profession. In the original, those two words have the same Greek word translated differently by translators. The word is homologeo. That doesn't mean anything to you, but what it means should mean a lot to you, and that is to say the same thing as. That means that when I confess something, I'm saying the same thing about my situation, good or bad, as God does. And when we cooperate with this new law of the Spirit, it kicks something in the unseen realm into gear. It's not something that always happens overnight, but it activates not just a spiritual force. And really, activating is not even a proper term. God's already activated. He doesn't need us to activate. He needs us to let Him do what He's already busting at the seams to do. Get in agreement and release what He has already given on the inside of you. That is done through opening up your mouth and declaring a thing. It's quiet, I guess, because you're munching. Me too. That's all right. So this morning, before we get started, we've been spending an awful lot of time on the topic of the book of Galatians, law versus grace, but we've spent maybe a third of that time actually in Galatians. Because I want to make sure that out of the word of two or three witnesses, everything that we say in here will be established. This morning, though, as we get started, just as a refresher, if you will, as you stand, because we're going to say some things together, if you will open your Bible to Galatians, as you stand, as we continue to worship, just a few minutes more, I'm not going to make you stand that much longer. Galatians, you'll find, and we're not going to read, I'm just going to show you where they're at. We're going to draw some hidden promises, not so hidden, promises out of chapter 3 and 4 and one verse in 5. And I want us to stand and to declare some things that this, if we read a scripture that is actually a correction to those who would seek to go back under bondage, it is a correction. But hidden in there is what you and I, who now are embracing the truth of a new covenant, a new law, hidden in there are great and exceeding precious promises for you and I. And I want us to shout them out, make that declaration this morning together as the people of God, and understand why I'm taking so much time with this as we go into chapter 5 of Galatians. So this morning, if you would look at chapter 3, verse 2, although it is a correction, hidden in there is this promise. And I want you to repeat after me and shout this out like you mean it. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
Being a hearer of faith, I have received the Spirit of God by faith, and all He is mine and dwells within. Oh, man. Did we read right over this stuff and we don't see what's right there in front of us? There it is. Look at it. That's verse 2. Look at verse 3. Inside that correction is a promise. And here's what it sounds like. Would you shout it out with me today? Because of the truth revealed in Jesus, I not only have begun in the Spirit, but will live the rest of my life in the Spirit, knowing this, He who began a good work in me is faithful. Come on, are you here today? Is faithful to complete it until the end. Now, some of you are confused. That's not in your Bible. You're looking at a verse that is a correction, and I'm leading you in a confession about that verse. You're not reading out of, I'm not reading out of the Bible. We're taking a truth that we have found there. What does 3:3 say? There is a correction. How is it that you think having begun in the Spirit, you think you're going to complete things in the flesh? So the promise in there is because of the truth we're learning, I'm not only going to begin in the Spirit, I'm going to continue in the Spirit the rest of my life. Now are you following me? Some of you are trying to read that and you're like, whoa, what in the world is going on? So let's do it one more time. Are you ready? Now here's the truth. Repeat after me. This is our confession of faith. We're saying the same thing God says about us. Because of the truth revealed in Jesus, I not only have begun in the Spirit, but I will live the rest of my life in the Spirit. He who began a good work in me. Come on, say it like you mean it. He who began a good work in me will complete it until its end. You say, where'd you get that from? Write it down, Philippians 1:6. Not Philemon, that's a different one. Philippians 1:6. Okay. Verse 6 says some very important things. So you look at it, and now this is going to be our confession based on that verse. Are you ready? Repeat after me. Even as Abraham believed God. Come on, say it like you mean it. Even as Abraham believed God. And righteousness was accounted to him. I now by faith am made righteous by the faith of the Son of God. Woo, that's good news. Not counted, but made. Verse 8. Just glance at it. Here's our confession based on verse 8. Say with me, because I am of faith, not works. I'm justified before God and blessed with faithful Abraham. For I live. Bump your neighbor and tell him out loud, for I live by faith. Amen. Jump all the way down to verse 26. Just glance at it and then say this with me. I am a child of God. Are you so religious that that doesn't even register on you anymore? Do you know what it means to be a child of God? To be born of the Spirit? Made brand new, joint heirs with Jesus. That means there's two signers on that check for your blessing. And He's proud to represent you. He's not embarrassed because of the work of the Father through His blood. I'm a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Jump all the way down to verse 29, chapter 3. Just glance at it. And then say with me, I belong to Christ. I'm Abraham's seed and an heir to all the promises of God. Huh? Let's say it again. Say it out loud. I belong to Christ. Let me tell you something, people. You are not your own. Grace preaching is not about I can do whatever the, get ready, hell I want. Not what it's about. You'll see that. But when you blow it, man, we hit it hard last week and we couldn't record it because we didn't have the people. Everybody was stuck in the snow. It doesn't change God's attitude or love. Not even one little iota. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Pick yourself back up. Dust your knees or your fanny or the top of your head off, whatever it is, and get moving. Stumble up and stumble forward in Jesus. Oh, man. Look at chapter 4, verse 6. Just glance at it. Breathe it in. Let your spirit catch hold. And shout this out with me. I'm a son and daughter of God. And the Spirit of His Son is in me now, crying, Abba, Father. Woo-hoo-hoo! Are you kidding me? The last one, 5, verse 1. Just glance at it, and here's what I want us to say together. I'm free, and I'm staying free because of Jesus in me. Bump your neighbor and say it out loud like you mean it. I'm free, and I'm staying free because of Jesus in me. One more time. I'm free, and I'm staying free because of Jesus in me. I used to tell our young people years ago before a big youth revival, I'd have them stand, and I'm going to have you say the same thing with me this morning. Say out loud with me, I am the answer. Somebody's already religiously upset. No, you're not. Jesus is the only answer. Just hold the phone, relax. I'm the answer, not the problem. Because of Jesus in me. Where do you get that from? He told the disciples, even before they could be born again, he says, you go in my name, declare the kingdom as heaven is at hand, and you heal the sick in my name. You bring deliverance in my name. We all want to put it all on Jesus. It's a religious cop-out. Shout it out with me. I'm the answer in this world, not the problem. Now, some of you are the problem. Just ask your wife. But tell her, he's working on me. My profession, my confession, my prophetic word over me is that I'm the answer, baby, and not the problem. Come on. Come on. Oh, come on, guys. Help me out a little bit. Greg, I'm the answer, baby. And not the problem. Usually it's the other way around. I'm glad for Jesus today. Maybe you ought to get this recording and get a hold of these and start rehearsing them every day. We are blessed. And the enemy will do everything he can to put you right back under bondage. And he will not do it through sin. He's not going to do it through petty sin. He'll do it through sin. He's not going to do it through petty sin and all the little do-nots that you think about. He will do it through religious activity. And get you to begin to exercise your force of will to deserve. I'm so glad today it is by grace, through faith, that we have received this great life. Hallelujah. Bump your neighbor and say, he's alive in me. And I'm buzzing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated if you can. Now I want to ask you something. As we were rehearsing those truths, did you feel your spirit man just jumping? It's oxygen. It's important that you begin to establish that type of functioning in the spirit on a day-to-day basis. Open your mouth and declare a thing and watch what God will do. Amen. Well, it's a quarter after. Usually takes me an hour to get out what I want to say. So are you ready to stay till a quarter after 12? I won't do that. But we're going to try. This morning, Don referenced the book by Ryan Rufus. I don't know where I got the title. The author messed up. I need to check with her about that. Do you?
No.
I'm a little confused about that. Are you?
No.
You're not. So you know. So you can straighten me out.
No, I didn't.
Very good. Where did I get Ryan Rufus from? There, probably he endorsed it or something, so maybe. At any rate, neither here nor there, Extra Virgin Grace, powerful book. Now, we just spoke the Word of God, some tremendous things about ourselves. Now, you've heard me say this many times, and I stole it from Joseph Prince, who stole it from somebody else. But how many know, and I used to teach this heavily in our Bible school, context is everything. Joseph Prince says, copying somebody else, he says, when you take the text out of context, you wind up with a con. And you have to realize that a lot of this stuff that we're reading are secular under King James. A lot of us are reading King James, not everybody, and I understand that. But translators did the best they knew with what they knew, tried to make it understandable. They're pulling from text and they're translating it into English, and how many are glad they did? Okay, so we're not knocking them. None of the translations are perfect. Thank God in this day and age we have access, easy access, to the original. It's not hard to go back and find out what the Word of God says. But tremendous truths that we just rehearsed together, that we spoke together. We said the same thing God says about us. I mean, no, that is awesome. But Pastor Lee, I read forward in Galatians 5. My God, Pastor Lee, you've been on this topic for 7 years. So I decided to read forward in this little short book. And I read something over here in chapter 5 that is confusing. Chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Let's turn there together. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now, if you have not been with us for the other messages, as we've laid a foundation for this whole topic, I'd encourage you to go online or talk to Bill, the gentleman in the sound booth, and you can get these audios both online and on disc. Preferably online. It makes it a lot less of a workload for him if you have access to a computer, phone, or tablet, okay? Look with me, though, at Galatians chapter 5. Go all the way down to verse 19, and it says this. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And it begins to list them. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations. Who has NIV in here? Who has the NIV translation? Quick. What does it say for, what does it say for the word variance? So it says idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. Discord. Okay, those that sow discord, okay? And then jump on emulations. What does it say for after discord? What does it say for emulations? Jealousy. So discord and jealousy, if you're reading the King James, or what he's talking about there. Wrath, that which is rage, thank you. Oh, is this in that? Oh, perfect. Rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions. The King James, if you're reading it with me, says idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Verse 21, go ahead and kick that up as well, Bill, if you would, continuing in the NIV. I forget I have that benefit. In the King James, it reads envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we have a problem. Because this book is making it very clear that our salvation and our confidence in the Father and this new salvation by the Spirit of God living in us, whereby our hearts cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, God, all of a sudden the Jake brakes just came on. And we got a problem. We all don't, murders doesn't bother us. And a few of the others in there, but right in the middle of there is jealousy, envy, hatred. How many have experienced those emotions over the last year? Then you're dead in the water. You're going to hell. Or we're not keeping things in context. Now, I'm going to borrow heavily, as in read from, Ryan Rufus's book, Extra Virgin Grace. He says, there's much confusion when it comes to Galatians chapter 5. This is because some of the verses in it are hard to understand at face value. Some people, after reading the chapter without discernment of the new covenant, would conclude one of several things, if not all three. Number one, Christians are in a battle with their old sinful nature. I was raised and taught that when you're born again, you now have a dual nature. That is not scriptural. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you don't know where this verse is at and you don't know where I'm going, you need to write it down and memorize it. I quote it all the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is, she is, man in a general term, mankind. He, she is a new creature. You're not rebuilt. It amazes me what guys can do with a beat up old jalopy classic and take that thing and work it over. And Jim is a master at taking dents out and making things look right. Jim Anderson and others. And it amazes me, guys that can take cars that just look like nothing and turn them into absolute beauty. But you know what? That right here, booty too. That, there we go. There's one more for the year. Strike that from the record. A real work of art. A real work of beauty, the hand of man. But that is a recreation. Do you understand that you weren't recreated? The Bible says that your faith in Jesus did something in you in the unseen realm to the degree that the old man died. Paul says that he was crucified. And that I was resurrected together with him, a new man, a new creature. A lot of religion teaches us that we have a dual nature. No, you do not. Well, then how come my flesh wants to do stuff that it doesn't want to do? Andrew Womack has a really neat explanation. He calls it, in fact, one of the chapters in one of his books that we taught in Bible school, he talks about virtual reality. I have a niece that something a long time ago got in her head. Beautiful young lady. Some of you know her. Ava. And to this day, because something that happened when she was younger, if she sits down to a beautiful meal, she has learned to control something that happens that turns her instantly off, and she will get desperately nauseous and have to leave the room to try to keep from throwing up because of an incident that happened that really grossed her back some years ago. I mean, she sweats, she gets sick, the whole deal. And she laughs about it. She said, there's nothing wrong with me. It's in my head. And she said, I've learned that when that's coming to change the subject and I can get through those meals. Now, tell me that isn't strange. And she doesn't have a spirit. She loves the Lord, a wonderful worshiper. Don't even go there. But she got this thing got in her head. And she's had to take the word and take some practical measures to keep it. But when she would let that go, her sickness was very, very real in its manifestation. I mean, to the bathroom and you know what? Virtual reality. You know the people movers in the airport? You ever been in a really big airport and walked one of those for quite a while? And when you step off of those deals at the end, you swear the ground is still moving. Virtual reality. Let me know what I'm talking about. You ever spent all day long on a boat choppy seas. You climb down off that boat and the ground is moving, but it's not. You have lived your whole life the way you lived it, without Jesus and without the Word, and had a lot of things that became stamped into your human, physical, character, nature, whatever you want to call it. And when you were born again, the miracle of God is that the true you, the real you that lives on the inside. Scripture tells us that we are a three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit man. The real you. You're not your flesh. You're not your body. You're not defined by that. Your brain goes along with that process. You are now defined as a child of God. That's why we made those professions. Okay? Some of us live that way for a long time, and there is a bent. Step off the people mover, and the ground's still moving. There is something in our flesh that still is moving in the wrong direction. But that doesn't mean that because that's happening, that what God did inside of you isn't real. In fact, it's proof that it is. The fact that there is a conflict means that somewhere inside you came alive. Alive in and unto God. Amazing stuff. This is why Romans 12 says what it does. I beg of you, therefore, brothers, with constraint and law, no, by mercy, that you now, it's not hard anymore. He's done a work in you. You can, it's very reasonable now that you can, by his mercy, present your body a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto him. How does this happen? Well, he gives that in the next verse. He says, don't let yourself be shaped by the spirit that is in the world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind is not just replacing a good thought, a bad thought with a good thought. It's not just replacing a bad phrase with a scripture. It's about walking in communion. It happens with the Word of God. But meditation in the Word is more than memorizing. It's practicing who He is. In the Word, we find out who he is, what his character is. Not just in the word in general, but specifically in the word of the new covenant. Everybody wants to go back to Job and build a doctrine. You're going to get in trouble. Everything changed when Jesus died, was buried, resurrected, and ascended to the right hand of God, where we now, because of our faith in Jesus, are seated together with him in the heavenlies. Ephesians chapter 2. This is some awesome stuff. And we have got to get it down that this has nothing to do with what you do. It has everything to do with what you believe. And therein is the fight. Virtual reality. There's a part of me. Paul talks about it. Romans 7. He opens up for all to see the battle of the new man with virtual reality. I'm so glad, though, that Paul says in this same little book in chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, not just mine, but by the faith of the Son of God that He put on the inside of me. How many are glad for Jesus today? Three of you. How many are glad for Jesus today? We got eight. How many are glad for Jesus in here? Hallelujah. You're not in a battle with your old sinful nature. You have one new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new, not a rebuilt, restored, old. You are a new creature. Let that revelation alone. Take some time and meditate on that alone, because that means God. And you think that's not a big deal? You think that's not a big deal? Some of you are a mess. Just in case you thought I was going the wrong direction, take a little break and go over to Ephesians 1. Verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. He's speaking to believers. It's not just knowledge, it's revelation of the knowledge of Him. Would you say out loud with me, better caught than taught? Well, I need to be in the presence of God, around believers, in church, in worship. I mean, set your table, because just like that, revelation will come. And when it hits your heart, it'll move from something that just excites you and that you mentally assent with and hope could be true for you, and it deposits itself in the deepest part of who you are, becomes a part of who you are. That kind of faith moves mountains. Okay? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Do you realize that everything that we're talking about right now has everything to do with His calling? For He sits currently at the right hand of the Father, praying for you and I. He's not embarrassed by your failure. I don't have time to go there, but Romans 8 says that when we're weak, He does not turn His back. As I was taught in my youth, and distance Himself from me in my failure and sin. But as a new creature who's still figuring out virtual reality, Romans 8 tells me that He takes together with me even tighter and prays for me with groanings that cannot even be uttered. Can you say, wow? Can you say it backwards? I love that. I've wore it out, but I still love it. You may know what is the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the get ready? Say, Pastor Lee, how can this be? I know me. I don't like me. Because you're still identifying yourself after the flesh. And then the church says salvation is free, but once you're in the doors, you're still going to have to make your flesh work to keep it. This is really messed up. This isn't. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power? He's speaking of the power of the Father. Now I want you to think about something. We started this service with a confession of faith. Do you know that the worlds were framed? If you're a believer and you believe the Word of God, The Bible says that the world was made, it was framed, everything was set in place, not by the power of His Word, but by the Word of His power. You get a knowledge and an understanding of how great He is and what He has done in you. It will no longer be you're saying a bunch of stuff until it's true. It will be a power that's flowing and emanating from you, from which words, like a volcano, tumble forth the word of His power. The worlds were framed. Your words are important. How many love Jesus today? All right, then lighten up a little bit. Am I yelling making you frown, I guess? I don't know. Okay, so here, let's just look at this a little bit more. What is the exceeding greatness of His power? His power. Can you imagine what it was like when a voice boomed in nothingness and said, "Let there be"? Water begins to roll back and with a mighty force behind it, driving it away as dry land appears. Let there be. Boom. I find it interesting that all this was happening and He didn't create the moon or the sun until the what day? Fourth day. I think He was a light until that was needed. I don't know. But can you imagine the force, the power of His Word? This is the kind of power that we're talking about. This is power that is beyond. Have you watched any of the YouTube videos of the different tsunamis that have happened? You sit there on our big screen TV and watch power that is you look at it and you watch it and you can't believe that it's happening. It doesn't make sense. Watch earthquakes. I remember as a kid in Guatemala, one of the bad ones that was on the news all around the world, I was standing outside our little homestead way up in the mountains where we were working with the Mom Indians, and the ground was shaking so hard. I remember seeing the corn in the cornfields doing this, and we were trying to stand up on the road as the whole country shook. Little did we know that in the capital, in Sheila, great buildings were just reduced to powder. Power. Do you know His power is much, much greater? This is the kind of power that we're talking about. And look what it says here. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of? So this is not just His power. He here is describing by the Spirit of God, in God's realm and context, exceeding great. Now that's off the charts. What it took to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. It took that kind of power to raise Jesus from the dead. So it made, let there be land. Made that look like, what's next? This is the big deal. Can you say, turn to your neighbor and say, this is the big deal. This is the big power. This is God's context of exceeding great power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Every name that is named, there it is again where we started our service. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, that's you and I, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. The translators put a chapter number and separation in here, but it was not there in the original. It continues, same vein and flow. And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. He describes all of what that means. And in verse 4, but God. How many can say but God? How many are glad for his mercy and his love? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, when we were dead in sins, he has raised us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. That's the kind of power. You know why it took exceeding great power to raise him from the dead? Because he was raising us together with him. And that's no little deal. That's a big deal. Woo! That's shouting territory right there. You think you're not a load? Woo! You're a load. It took exceeding great power. I'm here glad for his great power. Oh, man. That in the ages to come, you tired of hearing about grace preaching? You're in trouble. Because right here it says, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. You think I preach about it a lot? Wait till you get to heaven and the Father gets to talking. In his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Come on, Abby. Jesus, we love you. Ha! Jesus, we love you. He does a better job than I do. Jesus, you are the one I adore. Lift your hands. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. You are the one my heart adores. Oh man, aren't you glad for life today? Exceeding great power got you here. But this is no dual nature nonsense. You're new. Religion and Satan, who loves religion. That's why I hate it. There is something called pure religion that James references that says, out of the outflow of faith comes a work of faith that is taking care of orphans and widows. But he's not talking about religion. More blood has been shed over religion, and the devil is so ecstatic about that than any other thing. Aren't you glad for relationship versus religion? Okay, I got to figure out somewhere to end because I could go for 2 more hours. Easy. Break for lunch? That's a good idea. Maybe we'll do that. Got some people wanting a midweek service. We could just break for lunch every Sunday and pick right back up. No dual nature. One, a new one. And now a process of renewing your mind, which is part of your flesh, to the new you. As long as you don't know that truth, you will always struggle with you and be robbed of the power that comes with being a son and daughter of God. There's much confusion when it comes to Galatians chapter 5. This is because some of the verses in it are hard to understand at face value. Some people, after reading the chapter without discernment of the new covenant, would conclude one of several things or all of them. Here they go. Christians are in a battle with their old sinful nature. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. We're going to explain that. That's not dual nature. It's speaking of what I just talked about, virtual reality. You can remember that one, can't you? Number two, the other thing that we conclude, many people conclude, is sinning then is living by the flesh, and not sinning is living by the Spirit. Wrong. We're going to show that in Scripture. But we get that from Galatians 5:19, which says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, etc. Third conclusion that many times is drawn is, Christians who do sinful things will not go to heaven. And it's right there where religion exercises an inordinate, illegal, insidious form of control. If I can scare you and take the word and whip you with it and show you that if you don't cross your T's and dot your I's just right and walk chuck, and by the way, you can't do it without me. I am your guide. Sometimes it'd be nice to do that. We need more ushers, children's workers. People help. I could just say, you know what? You're going to hell if you don't get involved. Nobody says that, but they kind of say it. If you read these scriptures like that, then you would be wrong. Galatians 5 is actually a wonderful chapter that should fill us with great hope and confidence in the good news, in the goodness, excuse me, of the good news and the completeness of God's salvation in us. The key to unlocking this chapter is having a revelation about what it means to walk in the Spirit. I would love to go there, but it's 11:45 and we're out of time. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Have you had a great time in Jesus? You ready to get into the Word more and look at what this is all about? You ready to grow into a whole different level in Him of confidence? I'm glad you came to church this morning. Oh, man. I don't know about you, but I'm just full. But if I go to the next point, we're going to be here 11:45. Easy peasy. Let me tell you. Lifting your hands all over the place. Huh. Say with me, thank you, Lord. I mean, say it out loud with some boldness. Thank you, Lord. Because of Jesus in me. By grace through faith, all that you are is now hidden in me, and I am hidden in you. Thank you, faithful Holy Spirit of God, that when I fail, it's not the end of the trail. For there's a process of renewal, letting my spirit man gain ascendancy over virtual reality in my life. I declare today that I am free and will stay free. I will not use my freedom as an excuse for ungodly behavior. For my focus is on you, who is the author as well as the finisher of my faith, which is your faith in me. Say it out loud. I don't understand it. But I acknowledge you inside. I see growth. Sometimes baby steps. Other days, giant leaps. Some days I feel like I'm going backwards. But I know the truth is. Come on, say it. I know the truth is. From glory to glory. From glory to glory. More and more. in your likeness. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, come on. Come on, are you here today? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's not condemnation and fear and beat down and wondering. And where are you? And is it okay today, God? I was so fired up yesterday in church, but today I... None of that. Confidence to extend your hands up through the cloud of doubt and the world coming against you, and let the words tumble off your lips, for you are good and your mercy to me endures forever. Great is your faithfulness. Say with me today, I will not die. I'm not talking about just physically. I will not die. Come on, say it like you mean it. I will not die, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing right now in this place. Doing more than I could ever say. Come on, would you say it out loud? Better caught than taught. Come on, say it out loud. Better caught than taught. Sweet Holy Spirit, I'm catching it. Woo, thank you, Lord. How we love you today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen.